I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Well, thank you for reading that, Gary, and happy Father's Day not only to all of the fathers out there, but to everyone, because it is a day for all of us to enjoy. And to me, I think of Sunday as Father's Day every day in reference to our Father in heaven. And so may the glory go to him. Before I begin my lesson, this is a lesson that's very dear to me. I think you can call this is going to be a strong lesson. It's not directed to any certain body. It's not necessarily an issue at Dowagiac. But some of this will be to all of us, and we will relate to this, I'm sure. So the lesson today is weatherproofing our families from the storms of life. In our scripture reading in Matthew 7, verses 24 and 27, is a very familiar passage of scripture. We've heard it all many times. But I'm telling you that this passage means more to me today than it did just a few weeks ago. You know, the consistent thing that occurred is the storm. And the inconsistent things that occurred is where the houses were built. And now I know that you love your family as much as I love mine. And I don't think that anybody who has really any sense would want to build a house on the Atlantic Ocean, especially where hurricanes occur. But there are people who do that. Because sooner or later, you know what's likely to happen. But from a spiritual standpoint, people do it all the time. We have people on their way to hell because of a lack of a strong spiritual foundation in their lives and in their families. Some of these people are in my family and some of them are in yours. And we stand back and we look at them and they look like they're happy. They look to be in their right mind. They appear to look like they know what they're doing. But spiritually, so many of them are out of touch. And if you try to have a spiritual conversation with them, they'll show you how out of touch they are because they're not interested in the foundation of Jesus. This passage of scripture teaches me that when Jesus speaks, I need to be listening. And whatever Jesus says, that's what I need to do. Not necessarily what my wife says or my mama says or the preacher says, but what Jesus says. And when a person really decides to live as a Christian, there will be possibly additional divisions in our families. Notice I said when one really decides to live like a Christian, not part-time or kind of like a Christian, because not everyone is down with this. And we all have families that are going to Hades at 100 miles per second because we've lost our focus. Jesus don't mean anything to us like he did back in the day. Years ago, I know some of us will remember, on a Sunday night, we would turn on the television. But that was after evening services. But now we got people who turn on the TV at about 9:30 or so and never move from it until bedtime. And some will miss some church function because of some sporting event or something that means more to them than the Lord. And we need to get real. How does the world really see us? How much is Jesus really worth it to you? And how much is he really worth it to me? And to some, not much. And when I see how many that miss in our worship services, you know, not too long ago when we was able to assemble, you know, and what kind of priority have I set with my wife and my children and my grandchildren? And if the Super Bowl was on at the same time our services were scheduled, how many of us would be attending? I'm really troubled today because without this foundation, we're not going to make it. I remember when my wife, Brenda, back when she was still in nursing school, and the time that she had to put in into her study was so tremendous. There was so much time they had to go into studying and being prepared that you had no time to do anything else other than maybe sleep some. And when it was time to do her boards, which is the final exam, you better be prepared. Because if you fail, you had to take the course all over again and pay the tuition fees all over again. And the grading scale is much higher. For example, if you scored a 70%, you failed. And in the Lord's church, we got too many people who are not going to make the grade because we got our heads in the sand. And on Judgment Day, when we learn that we failed, there will not be a chance to take the course and the test again. It's too late. Heads are in the sand that don't understand. Hurricane season is from June through the end of November, but with the devil, hurricane season is always in. The devil is not waiting for hurricane season to come. He's already blowing in our lives right now. And some of you may be dealing with financial issues. Some of you may be dealing with physical concerns. Some of you may be here right now, but you're hurting in some way. But you're here. And some of you who might be here this morning, that your minds might be 1,000 miles away because you're in distress over loved ones, because you love them and you care about them and you want to see them saved. And they're out there somewhere, maybe acting like a fool, but you're concerned about them. And you're sitting here trying to be focused on God and trying to do your best. We have to work on ourselves each and every day on our knees. Every word that was read in our scripture reading is powerful. And did you pay close attention to those who built their house on the improper foundation? I'm going to read Matthew 7:27 again, just for emphasis. And it reads, "And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It didn't only just fall, but great was its fall, the scripture says. And so whoever was in that house suffered a great unfortunate tragedy built on an improper foundation. And this morning I stand before you telling you that the family has become an endangered species. We're living in a time where our children have become confused because they don't know what bathroom to go into. I understand and hear, this is amazing to me, that in some of our schools, they see girls draped over each other, kissing each other. And it makes me sick. Our great nation is becoming Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. And we're told by others that, well, you're just trying to find, they're just trying to find themselves. And I say, maybe they need a belt to help them find themselves. And you know, sometimes we've got so many people in our societies like, oh, whoa, is it? But read about what God says about sparing the rod or not sparing the rod in Proverbs 13 and 24. And 22 and 15, and 23 and 14, and 29 and 15. You can correct a child even with a spanking in a loving way. There's a way to do it. And that's just a few of the scriptures. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. And we have people in our society that would say, oh, that's terrible what God did. Like they know better than God. And we have a society that has lost its mind. And I am disgusted with what our kids are being taught in many of our schools. And they say that you can't touch these kids. They'll lock you up. And so we have stories of kids slapping teachers, pushing them down. And what has happened to our society? We have lost our respect for God, and we have failed to build our house on His firm foundation. We have more and more grandparents raising grandchildren. And society will say, well, you're insensitive. You're intolerant. I'm intolerant, all right, when it comes to sickening, sinful things that's going on in our world. It frightens me down to my very soul when I think of the world that our young people are going to have to live in. If we do not wake up, the next time we see a family that has a father, a mother, and children, it will be between the Smithsonian Institute. It will be in the Smithsonian Institute between the black and white television and the 8-track tape player. That's the direction we're going to. That's where we are headed. America, in some ways, is moving fast in the wrong direction. We sit and we listen to the Word of God, and sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. And is there any change in our lives? God's word falls to the side because we, as a result, don't have enough people to step up to do the work. Congregations, their numbers are shrinking more and more in our assemblies. Many congregations are closing their doors for good. This past February the 24th, I was in Ocala, Florida, and I visited the Maricamp Church of Christ. John Clayton is familiar with Maricamp Church of Christ because I understand he did a seminar there a few years ago, I think it was. But they shared some statistics, and those were that 50 to 100 churches will close their doors per year That is six, brothers and sisters, that is six churches of Christ will close per month. That comes to 72 congregations that will close forever per year. Will we be in that number? We need more congregations sprouting up. And when some of us go on vacation, we'll go all out, won't we? We can't wait to get away. We get away from our jobs. And I remember I used to be that way before I was retired. But if we weren't at our jobs, we couldn't be the example before others as Christ. So it's good that when we are at our jobs. But we will spend lots of money on theme parks, hotels, food, stuff, whatever. And so, am I saying that there's anything wrong with that? No. But go all out for God. Give him your best. Besides, he's offered us a permanent vacation in heaven, a place much more glorious than anyone can imagine, and anywhere on this earth. But anything we do, it costs. And salvation is not cheap. And salvation never goes on sale. Sometimes we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. It's so easy to sing those words. Jesus paid it all. But those next five words, all to him I owe. Do we mean that when we sing that? I wanted to talk about today the weatherproofing our families. And when a severe tornado warning or that is issued in our area, or even perhaps a storm watch or warning, we tend to prepare, don't we? I know I do. I watch the radar. We tie things down. We bring things in. We put the car in the garage. We get our generators ready. All kinds of things to be prepared. But many times we haven't done anything in a spiritual regard to our families. The storms are coming. They're not only coming, but they're here. And again, the devil is not waiting on hurricane season. For Satan, it's year round. He's out there just waiting for an opportunity to strike again. And you see, when we live truly for Christ, it's not living on top of a mountain. It's living in the valley. Because Satan is out there ready to try to get God's people to turn their backs on him. I got to thinking about Adam and Eve and how their family was shamed by one brother killing another. I got to thinking about Abraham, that he got so concerned about his own physical life that he lied about his relationship with his wife, Genesis 12, 10 through 20. And what about Joseph? All those brothers from another mother, they were just all in there together. And I'm surprised that he lived through all of that, all that trauma. But God was with him. And we don't want to forget that. So at the age of 17, Joseph decides to tell his daddy that his stepbrothers was lazier and sorrier than he was. So he turns them all in. And when Joseph told his brothers about the dream that he had, it didn't help that relation, did it? And his brothers hated him so much, You remember they took an animal skin, they put blood on it and gave it to daddy and said, well, this is what happened to your son. Talk about a dysfunctional. This family was dysfunctional. But how about Job? This man was body slammed like nobody else. And with all that he went through, he never opened his mouth and sinned against God. Even his wife, who you would hope would stand with him, said, "Curse God and die." There was nothing Job lived with that he couldn't live without. What about you? What about me? So the next time you look at the long list of tragedies that happened to Job, remember that last one that happened to him? Does anyone here remember that last one? The children. That's how Satan is when you're down. He'll step on you. You see, Satan might not get you to turn your back on God. But what he does is he goes after your children and your grandchildren and finds a way to hurt you. Many of our children become, you know, they become a certain age and they leave home and they decide to find themselves. And Satan is out there just waiting to help them. Come on, I'll help you find yourself. And they're not prepared. And how much time do we sit down with our kids and our grandkids teaching them Bible stories and Jesus? Or do we leave it up to the Sunday school teacher? For most of us, our kids are out there somewhere, certainly not here. And we had our chance. But it's all too late for us. Think about this. Our kids are exposed to hours of secular things, and somehow we think that 1 hour on Sunday is going to compete with that. And sometimes, even the church, someone who may not be as holy as we thought, will do some terrible thing, and our kids will witness that, and they'll be like, they're gone. They're not going to ever come back. Even in the Lord's church where you least expect it. Because Satan don't care. He's not afraid to come in any door, anywhere. And once he gets someone away from godly people, he'll show you what kind of friend he is. And poor Job, when the last person came in to talk with him, they said, "Job, all your children are dead." Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was still Job's attitude. That is a spiritual man. And if that happened to you, I know that you'd all be that way too. You would all said that. But not me. I'd be crying, I'd be rolling around on the ground, I'd be griping and complaining with snot coming out of my nose and saying, "God, I thought you loved me." And we don't see any of that in Job. For the first 7 days, we read where Job never opened his mouth. Never opened his mouth. And sometimes that's the safe route, isn't it? But there are stories that are full of them in the Bible of unfortunate incidences. And no family is immune from them storms of life. But members of your family who you know that are unfaithful to Jesus, and you talk with them, and you pray with them, and they don't want to hear it. And they say that God loves me and God's going to save me and take your Church of Christ stuff and keep it. I don't need it. That hurts. That's called internal pressure, emotional pain. And it's in you day and night. And sometimes we have done something maybe that has shamed our families. But we're more concerned about our reputation than what is right. But someone out there knows. You know, anybody can get on and Google your name and find out a whole lot about you. And we think we can hide. But God knows everything about you and me. So as I come to a close here, I want to thank you all for your kind attention. Turn to Psalms, you don't have to turn to Psalms 127, but I'm going to read Psalms 127. By the time I read it, you probably won't find it that fast, if you're like me at all. It reads, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." This is why I mentioned in the beginning that it's so easy to look at our families and some of our neighbors and friends and think that they have it all together. We'll look at what they drive. We'll look at where they live and what they wear. And all these things, surely they are things of success, aren't they? Well, not necessarily. Because if God's not behind it, all of it is junk. We won't take it with us. We need to learn how to count. We need to learn how to count. The Apostle Paul said that all he had experienced, his pedigree, and all that he had gone through, he said, "I count them as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus my Lord." So what is your relationship with God, really? It's so easy to leave here today and get back to doing what we do and forget what we've heard from the Word of God. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that some of the things that you have heard today is helpful in your service to God. Remember always that the truth is still the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is still a lie, even if everyone believes it. May God bless us all. And may we never quit serving Him and Him only. Thank you.